Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Zach, for what you said. I haven't spoken in a while, and I forgot how much stage fright I get. And so I was pretty focused on my fears and not really in the spirit of praise. And so thank you for what you said. In preparing for this, I was thinking about how much I really want to be a good speaker, and how much pride I would have in it if I was a good speaker and wasn't so and didn't have so much stage fright. And so I thought, wow, that's God's blessing in a lack and a filling in a lack of something, and keeps me centered on it's not my words that are going to change anything for anybody, but it's the Holy Spirit and us all searching God's word for ourselves, and maybe something I say can be from the Lord and hopefully empty of me. Anyway, I just wanted to start with a word of prayer, and I want to leave a gap afterwards so you all, anyone who wants to, can pray for each other, pray for the person in front of you, beside you, behind you, pray for me, that we all can be empty of self this morning and humbling ourselves, allowing him to fill. So let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the things that you've given to me to inspire me for different things I've wanted to share here. Father, don't let me get in the way. And Lord, if there's anything that I say that is from me, just help everyone just not hear that or forget that. And I just ask that you would bless us in our fellowship afterwards and fill us with your spirit and your goodness, Lord. And thank you for this time.
Yeah, we're going to be out here. Frank DeFilo will be sharing this all. We'll just give him the ability to share the things that you have laid on this heart. And Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and then hearts to receive in them to the Father who are not. Jesus.
Lord, that you would find any preoccupation in our minds of hearts. You would strengthen us in the areas that we have need. Help us to be able to listen, understand what you have for us today, Jesus.
Father, we pray that you work in our hearts, Lord. Speak to us this morning, Lord. Change us. Make us more like Jesus, Lord. Help us to get about all the things that we want. See what you desire in our lives, in our lives. Ask you to change us. Use this service, Lord. Use the message, Lord. Challenge us to change us to be more like you. Amen. Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, everyone. I was thinking quietly, but hey, that's you know. It was out loud, so that's fine. That's great, too. Anybody who wants to can turn with me to Romans 8, 31 and 32. This morning, really, I just wanted to communicate a couple things. And if all you walk away with is these couple things, is that's great. And that is, like, God yearns to fill you to the full, you individually. And that might not always look like, you know, like what I was saying before, it might not always look like a filling. It might be a lack of something, and he's filling you through that lack. You know, well, I guess he is seeking to fill me with humility by my lack of ability. Anyway, so God yearns to fill you to the utmost. And only you can get in the way of this filling. Nobody else can get in the way of this filling. Only you. Somebody going 5 miles below the speed limit in front of you makes you mad. That's not them. That's you. You know, just little things like that is what we often forget. It's me. It's not others. And really, this is part of the second thing, but, like, pride fills you with self and empties you of God. And so that's a main thing that stands in the way. So Romans 8:31 and 32. After this, we'll be going to John 15. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's given us so much, and he wants to continue giving us so much. So John 15 is the next one I'm going to go to. Well, I'm not going anywhere. I wrote it down. But John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I was going through The Walk of Repentance. It's a devotional book from Pure Life Ministries. Excellent. Anybody who wants a devotional? Yeah, that one's awesome. But they had me do a study. They had me do a study on the word full. It was a Greek word. It's not the word full, like, so it's not from the dictionary, but it's just actually didn't write down which verse this was taken from. But anyways, the word full, the definition from this verse that they had me go to and take it from is fill, to make full, to fill up, to fill to the full, to cause to abound, to furnish or supply liberally, to render full, to complete, to fill to the top, so that nothing shall be wanting to full measure, fill to the brim, to consummate a number, to make complete in every particular, to render perfect, to carry through to the end, to accomplish and carry out. You know, Christ is the author and finisher of our faith is another verse that comes to mind when thinking about that. One of the things that inspired me, was I sometimes read C.S. Lewis for part of my devotionals, and he had a section on the heading of this is perfection. I thought this was funny and makes a lot of sense. When I was a child, I often had a toothache, and I knew that if I went to my mother, she would give me something which would deaden the pain for that night and let me get to sleep. But I did not go to my mother, at least not till the pain became very bad. And the reason I did not go was this. I did not doubt she would give me the aspirin, but I knew that she would also do something else. I knew she would take me to the dentist the next morning. I could not get what I wanted out of her without getting something more, which I did not want. I wanted immediate relief from pain, but I could not get it without having my teeth set permanently right. And I knew those dentists. I knew they started fiddling about with all sorts of other teeth, which had not yet begun to ache. They would not let sleeping dogs lie. If you gave them an inch, they took an L. Now, If I may put it that way, our Lord is like a dentist. If you give him an inch, he will take an L. Dozens of people go to him to be cured of someone particular sin which they are ashamed of, like masturbation or physical cowardice, or which is obviously spoiling daily life, like bad temper or drunkenness. Well, he will cure it all right, but he will not stop there. That may be all you asked, but if you once call him in, he will give you the full treatment. I thought that was humorous and just really explains God well and us as well in that scenario. God's wanting to fill you, but often you're like, fill me here, or fill me over here in this area, but don't fill me in loving my neighbor as myself. Like, that's something we're all weak in. Doesn't matter that much. Nobody expects me to actually, you know, do that well. I have a couple more verses or sections to read in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, and not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And over to and that was Ephesians 1:15 through 23. And this is I'm going to Ephesians 4:9 through 15. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the working of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity and of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So you might want to keep a finger in both those places. Another definition of fill that I found it was funny. I never thought of it this way. Like, it literally was used as like manning a ship. The crew of a ship, a full crew. And anyway, I thought I would use that for a visual aid. Huh? So the reason I said to keep a finger there was I want to man the ship. Yeah, we'll put a little sail. Not pretty. But that'll do. What do you What do you think God wants to fill you with? Not a rhetorical question.
Love.
Love? Okay. We'll put a guy here. And who else? What? Humility. Okay.
Joy.
Okay.
Peace.
Contentment. Huh?
Faith.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Maybe I'll try a dove. Well, anything else? Don't just watch me while I'm doing this.
Discernment.
Discernment, yep. Mercy. Truth. What else? I think everybody got everything I wrote down. I wanted to also write down the law of the spirit of life. So we know you need this feeling, this filling. So what are you in danger of without this filling? You can answer if you want to. It might be personal. Honestly, that one, the filling might be personal. If you note taker, yeah, just write something down if that's what you want. I thought, you know, without these guys, you know, if you're losing these guys, you know, just take these guys out. Maybe a couple more over here. You're probably going to run aground and, you know, get a big gouge in the ship. I don't know. But you also wither, you will drift aimlessly, you will be deceived. Something I wrote down, you will walk in darkness. That's sure. Maybe not all of them right away, but if you don't allow God to continuously fill you, you can expect that and worse to happen. So on to only you can get in the way of this filling. My second point, if you could call it that. You cannot blame others for your sin or be complacent and expect revival or freedom from sin. Quote, "For the blood does not cleanse excuses, but always cleanses sin, confessed as sin. Then revival is just the daily experience of a soul full of Jesus and running over." That comes from the Calvary Road. Excellent book. I'd recommend it to anybody. Christ's blood does not cleanse us of excuses. It cleanses us of sin. So whenever you make an excuse for something you did, oh, it's my personality type. oh, it's, you know, oh, it's whatever, this person's thing. I'm depressed because of whatever. No, God can't cleanse that. God can't help that because you're holding that in. You know, I've struggled, and some might say depression is a bad spot to say that, but I've struggled with depression, and it really is just it's pride. It's pride because you're always focusing on yourself and you're not focused on God. I spent so long thinking that humility was, you know, just thinking less of myself, but it's not. It is. Just don't think about yourself like is humility. But thinking yourself as worse at something than you actually are, or just always pointing out, always looking at your own shortcomings is pride, because you're always looking at yourself. You're always thinking of yourself. It's, yeah. Anyway. Jesus taught that we are to overcome the world with a heart filled with the Spirit, not a heart of religion that restricts shining the light of His glory. Matthew 5:16 says, "Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." But it also says, take care, well, that's Matthew 5:16. Matthew 6:1 says, take care not to practice your righteousness in the sight of people to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Is that a contradiction? Sounds like it from at first glance, right? Like, it says, do your good works so that everybody can see, right? And glorify God. And then it says, don't do everything in front of people because, you know, then you'll get your reward in front of from everybody else, and that's why you did it. But God is so good. Like, I used to look at verses like these and be like, yeah, look, God's so, like, confusing. The word is confusing. This is, you know. And anyway, so that's not true. Talk to somebody. If you feel like God is not good, or you feel like something's not clear in the Word, go to someone who you see finding joy in God, and ask them questions all the time. And thank you to those who have done that for me. So with verses like these, God squeezes us into truth. Like, He gives us no out. He gives us no, like, it says, like I was saying, that, like, I can be confused, or I was saying that I'm confused by this, and it doesn't make sense to me. But actually, if I read these two verses together, it gives me more clarity, not less. Like, God saying to do your works before men for Him, not for men. You know, because if you read one of those verses alone, it's like, okay, I can't do good works. All right, I got to pay people off to keep quiet about all my good works. And, you know, no, like, it's like, just have the right heart, have the heart for God, and do your good works before Him, not before men. Yeah, He doesn't. Because if you're doing it for people or for yourself, you're getting in the way. You're not doing that in love. You're not doing that in truth for people. This third point, pride fills you with self and empties you of God. I wanted to say that and go to Isaiah 57:15 is a verse that has recently impacted me, well, recently within the last 6 months, and has come to mind often. Praise God. "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So God says he's in a high and holy place, and then it says he dwells with the lowly. And I just thought that's a beautiful thing. And almost sounds contradictory as well, but it's not. God is low, and we need to be there as well if we want to meet him. I also wanted to bring up Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is another one of those verses. It says, you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. But then it also says, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You know, it traps us into the truth. You know, he gives us no out. It's great. I forget what all else I was going to say after that. But in closing, I wanted to read the closing remarks from a study guide that my journey group and I are going through for the Calvary Road. In the final section of this chapter, the author calls each of us to be ruled by the dove, the Holy Spirit. What a contrast. We would rather be ruled by the mighty lion of Judah, by the King of Kings, or maybe by some external list of do's and don'ts, or maybe by my accountability group, but not a dove. Remember, the goal of the Christ life is not to be a better Christian. It is to be conformed to the image of God's Son by the Holy Spirit's conquest of self. Victory is not me overcoming my sin. Victory is Jesus Christ overcoming me. When he overcomes me moment by moment, the only biblical response is humility and brokenness, which brings on the much needed grace of God. Glory. Thank you, everyone.